Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We continue discussing the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, observing the armies. We will continue discussing from text 16 onwards. This section that we will discuss today will continue describing the signs of victory of the Pandavas, that and then we will learn about the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. So text 16 to 18. Ananta Vijayam Raja Kunti Putre Yudhisthira Nakula Sadevasha Sugosha Mani Pushpako Kasyasa Parameshvasa Shikandi Samaharata Kristatyumta Piratascha Satyakis Saparachita. Translation: King Yudhisthir, the son of Kunti, blew his conchal, the Ananta Vijay, and Nakula and Sadev blew the Sugos and Manipushpaka. That great archer, the king of Kashi, the great fire, Shikandi, Pristadyumna, Virata, the unconquerable Satyaki, Drupada, the sons of Draupadi, and the others, O king, such as the mighty armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective conchals. Purport: Sanjay informed King Dhritarashtra very tactfully that his unwise policy of deceiving the sons of Pandu and endeavoring to enthrone his own sons and the seat of the kingdom was not very laudable. The signs already clearly indicated that the whole Kuru dynasty would be killed in that great battle. Beginning with the grandsire, Bhishma, down to the grandsons like Ibamanyu and others, including kings from many states of the world, all were present there and all were doomed. The whole catastrophe was due to King Dhritarashtra, because he encouraged the policy followed by his sons. And also read text 19. Sagosa Dhartarashtranam Hridayani Vyadharayat Nabasa Pritivseva Tumulo Bhyanunadayam. The blowing of these different consoles became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. When Bhishma and the others on the side of Duryodhana blew their respective conchals, there was no heartbreaking on the part of the Pandavas. Such occurrences are mentioned, but in this particular verse it is mentioned that the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra were shattered by the sounds vibrated by the Pandavas party. That is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. So, in Om Namo Bhagavate, Om Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charusanti Nam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinam Swami Tinam Namaste Sarasvadevi Gauravani Pachari Nam Vishnu Vada Paskatai Dastam Om Mahyanti Mamasya Chansanasya Salakya Saksu Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namo. So Bhujan Pabui comments on verse 16. There is a hint given here by Sanjay. He knew the future, and only those whose conscious names are mentioned, they are the ones who survived the battle of Kurukshetra. And Satyaki also survived, and also Bhishma, because he is unconquerable. That so we have here Purnachandra Maharaj is making the same commentary, but then he writes, he says Srila Prabhupada seems to echo this idea in his commentary. He writes, beginning with the grandsire Bhishma down to his grandsons, Abhimanyu, and others, including kings from many states of the world, all were present there, and all were doomed. The whole catastrophe was due to King Dhritarashtra, because he encouraged the policy followed by his sons. And then text 19, the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra shattered by the sound vibrations of the Pandavas' party. That is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of the protection of the Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. Fear is considered a product of a contaminated heart. The Pandavas were not fearful because their hearts were clean, because they had taken shelter of Lord Krishna. So there was no fear or shattering on their side. That so that's also a sign of victory, conquering the material energy by becoming fearless. So what is the cause of fear? Cause of fear is misidentification in the body. That's why we are fearful. And because when we are identifying with the body, we become attached to wife, to home, to house, and we start entering really into a world of I and mine. But that false I and mine refers only to a construction in our mind based on the idea that I'm this body. And that's because everything changes in this world. Yeah, we have fear of losing things. That, and fear arises in the heart. But like the Pandavas, they were clean in heart. No false ego, no identification with the body. So that's a very high level. How can one, without the symptoms of such a person, is described in Bhagavad Gita, that he's not distressed when something bad to the body happens, and is not elated when some pleasure comes for the body. He's just equal in that. Is that equanimity is just explained in the Bhagavad Gita Yoga, when we're situated in that state of equanimity and sameness of mind, is said to be ever attained the Brahman platform, the liberate platform. That that's why Krishna will tell us in the beginning of that second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he will, after Arjuna surrenders to him, he says, First thing it says, you are not a body. You should not lament for the body, or for the loss of the body. You are not a body. You are the life in the body, which is the consciousness and the soul. That and you are eternal. No reason to lament for killing Bhishma. You cannot kill him. He's not a body. And then it says, but the body changes, and you have just to tolerate it. Tolerate it. Yeah, tolerating means becoming equally in happiness and distress. This is ABC of spiritual life, the beginning. But now, come to text 20. Atavyavastitandristva Dartarastram kafitvacha Pavitte shastra sampate Danur utyamya pandava Rishikesham tadavakyam Iham ahamayipati. At that time Arjuna, the son of Pandu, was seated in the chariot bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Purport. The battle was just to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of military force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman on the flag of Arjuna is not a sign of victory, because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Ram in the battle between Ram and Ravan, and Lord Ram emerged victorious. Now both Ram and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna to help him. Lord Krishna is Ram himself, and wherever Lord Ram is his eternal servitor Hanuman, and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna has no cause to fear my enemies whatsoever. And above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle. In such auspicious conditions arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee lay the signs of assured victory. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned practically all the signs of victory. Says, in the flag with Hanuman, the goddess of fortune is present because Krishna is present. The chariot, the unconquerable chariot, is there that Arjuna got from Agni, these are all signs of victory. So now we go to the Mahabharata, because it's not just that Arjuna's chariot was marked with Hanuman just by chance. There's a whole history behind them, and we will hear that history now. And there is another pastime in the Mahabharata when Arjuna went to the heavens to help his father Indra. Now Arjuna is the father of Indra, that when Queen Kunti got the benediction, that that's just by she got this benediction from a sage. Just by thinking of a demigod, the demigod would appear before her. She did that five times, and she got five children, five partners. So Arjuna is the his father's Indra. The Pandavas were roaming in the mountain regions near the Alakalamna river. At that time, in the river came floating a beautiful 1,000-petal lotus which smelled very fragrant. Draupadi, seeing and smelling this beautiful lotus, she wanted more to offer them to Yudhishthir. She said, "It would be nice if we had more of them. Bhima, can you get more of them?" So you go upstream the river up to the mountain and find more of these lotuses. Please find them. But no mortals were allowed in this place, of course. Bhima did not care about that. Anyway, he was jumping up the mountain and he was rowing and ripping up trees along the way and scaring the lions and tigers who were there. And then he came to one pathway where there was a huge monkey lying there. When Bhima was ranging in the mountains at the time of the Pandavas' exile, he met Hanuman. He did not know who Hanuman was. Bhima saw a big monkey lying on the path. His tail was blocking Bhima's path, and Bhima was charging up the mountain. So he ordered the monkey to move out of the way. And the monkey said, "I'm too old. I can't move out of the way." Bhima said, "Move out of the way immediately." The monkey said, "I'm too old. Just move my tail." Bhima was very proud. So he tried to pick up the tail, but could not move it at all. Then he became even more angry, but could not move the tail. Finally, Hanuman revealed who he was as Bhima's oldest brother, and Bhima surrendered to Hanuman, and he asked Hanuman one favor. So, because Bhima and Kunti called Vayu, he called Bhima. And so that's also Hanuman is the son of Vayu, so they are brothers. That came out at that moment. Interesting. So Bhima's older brother, and Bhima surrendered to Hanuman, and he asked Hanuman one favor. "Please show me your big form when you were crossing over to Lanka." And then Hanuman began to grow bigger and bigger. Hanuman said, "I will not show you the whole form, but a part of it." Then Bhima said, "Oh, all right." Bhima got one other benediction from Hanuman. Hanuman said that he would come and sit on the chariot of Arjuna on the flag, and he would add his war cries to the cries of Bhishma and terrify the opposing side. So Hanuman helped in that way. So Hanuman was on the flag of Arjuna. Arjuna, he took up his bow and he prepared to fight, shoot his arrows, and he looked at the sons of Dhritarashtra and began to speak to his chariot driver, who happened to be Krishna. So that's the next verse. But before going there, I want to read the commentary of Purnachandra Maharaj. And this is also about how Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala, the protector of his devotees, because this section where Krishna says where Arjuna says to Krishna, "Please move the chariot between the two armies." So Krishna is acting out as a servant of is devotee, and that's Bhakta Vatsala, how he takes care of his devotees. And so Purnachandra Maharaj, he want to emphasize this here. So here we have Kapit Vajja, a name for Arjuna, because he has the famed Hanuman on his flag. So Dvajja means flag, and there are two histories in this regard. Once Arjuna was strolling along the river, and there was a huge monkey bowing down to him, offering his pranams. So Arjuna asked, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Hanuman, the servant of Sri Ram." Arjuna asked, "Are you the servant of that same Sri Ram?" He was unable to build a bridge to Lanka, and then he asked the monkey soldiers to build it for him. "You are that same servant of Ram? If I would have been there, I would have, with my Gandiva bow, shot fairy arrows and built a very strong bridge which the entire army of Ram crossed over to Lanka." Then Hanuman said very politely, "My dear Arjuna, it is very wonderful that you have created such a bridge, but I believe that your bridge will not be able to hold even the smallest of the monkeys in that army." And then Arjuna said, "Then just watch." And he created his bridge across the river. He said, "You can jump on this bridge, holding the heaviest things you can find." So immediately Hanuman assumed a huge form, the same form that he used when he jumped to Lanka. And he jumped to the Himalayas, and he became back with all of these heavy stones tied on every hair of his body to make more weight. And then he came to Arjuna's bridge, which was made from arrows, and he put one foot on it, and the whole bridge started trembling, and Arjuna's heart also started trembling in fear. "Oh, this bridge is going to be broken by this huge monkey." And he started to pray to his Ishtadev, Lord Krishna, "Please, the reputation of the Pandavas is at stake. Please make the bridge strong." Then Hanuman put all of his feet on the bridge with all the stones and all of his weight, and somehow the bridge held him up, and Hanuman was shocked. "Oh, this is made just of arrows, and it is holding me and all this weight." And while he was looking down, he saw that water was coming from under the bridge. From where the bridge was, there was some blood in the river. So Hanuman thought, "What is down there?" He jumped off the bridge and looked, and then he saw his worshipful Lord Sri Ramachandra holding up the bridge with his back, with all of the arrows coming into his back, creating blood. Then Hanuman said, "Oh, my worshipful Lord Ram, you are holding the bridge?" Like this, Lord Ram came out and said, "Yes, my devotee Arjuna created his bridge, and I am supporting him." Actually, Arjuna saw the Lord as Krishna, and Hanuman saw the Lord as Ram. Of course, the Lord assumes different forms according to the meditation of the devotee. Then the Lord spoke to them and said, "You are both my dearmost servants, and I want you to become friends. In the very near future, a battle will take place, and Hanuman will enter onto Arjuna's flag, and in that way assist in the battle. So it is because of this reason that Hanuman has taken this position of the flag of Arjuna." So here Arjuna is called Kapit Vajja. This is one of the important omens of getting victory of the Pandava army. Also insignificant is the fact that Danava Utyam Ya Pandava. Arjuna at this point picks up his Gandiva bow and is ready to fight. Then in the next verse, what happens? We have text 21 and 22. Arjuna Uvacha. Senior Obayomate Ratam Stapaya Metsuta. Yavate Tan Nirikseham Yodu Kamam Avastitam. Kayermaya Saha Yoda Vyamasmin Rana Samutyane. Arjuna said, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I can see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his closest mercy, he was engaged in the service of his friend. He never fails in his affection for his devotees, and thus he is addressed herein as infallible. A charioteer. As a charioteer, he had to carry out the orders of Arjuna, and since he did not hesitate to do so, he is addressed as infallible. Although he had accepted the position of a charioteer for his devotee, his supreme position was not challenged. In all circumstances, he is the Supreme Personality of God at Rishikesh, the Lord of the total senses. The relationship between the Lord and his servitor is very sweet and transcendental. The servitor is always ready to render service to the Lord, and similarly, the Lord is always seeking an opportunity to render some service to the devotee. He takes greater pleasure in his pure devotees, assuming the advantage position of ordering him than he does in being the giver of orders. Since he is master, everyone is under his orders, and no one is above him to order him. But when he finds that a pure devotee is ordering him, he obtains transcendental pleasure. Although he is the infallible master in all circumstances. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna has no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come onto the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhana, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see the leading person present on the battlefield. Although there was no question of peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war. So, this is Krishna's Bhakta Vatsala feature, that he is a servant of his devotee. Therefore, pure devotional service is very rarely achieved. Because when one is on that platform, then one controls Krishna. that's the highest position. One controls Krishna by his love, that impersonalists, they try to become God by merging, but the devotee is controlling God. That's a special position. You see, Arjuna is a pure devotee, but he will soon become bewildered by Yoga Maya, Krishna's spiritual energy. He will bewilder him so that he gets doubts about the whole thing, and And so Arjun starts to give reason after reason why he should not do his duty of fighting. You may never forget that Arjun is a military man, and it's his duty to fight. If you have a police agent and the police officer is not doing his duty, when he sees a criminal, he must act. It's his duty, he must do. That's his job. So a military man has to act to his duty. But Arjun thinks it's not a good idea. And he brings up one reason after another, why not to fight. I will see all good reasons. But they are all wrong, we will understand why. But here you have this Bhakta Vatsala. This is very important for devotees, this faith that Krishna is taking care of us. How is he taking care of us? He's taking care of his purification, our purification, that we get rid of all this attachment. He wants us to become tolerant, equal in happiness and distress. So he takes care of purifying us. Because by purifying us, we become spiritually stronger. And if we become spiritually stronger, then we can give up suffering. The suffering, we can transcend the suffering. But a devotee who has developed this loving relationship with the Supreme Lord is always absorbed in thinking of Krishna with great love. And here you have this story of this Brahman. Pujan Prabhu is telling this story. Says, Arjun is hereby ordering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to drive his chariot in the midst of the armies. And what is Krishna going to do? He's going to drive the chariot as ordered by his devotee Arjun. There is a wonderful story mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India. He went to Rangachetra to see Lord Ranganath, a wonderful deity taken care of by the Sri Sampradaya, by followers of Ramanujacharya. While he went to the temple of Ranganath, he saw a poor illiterate Brahman reading the Bhagavad Gita. But he was not really reading the Bhagavad Gita. He was trying to read it, and he was pronouncing all the words improperly. But he was going to it, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu watched him doing one chapter and then the next chapter, all 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, and he was pronouncing everything wrong. And people would come by who knew that he was reading this every day. They would come by and laugh at him and joke, saying, "You are a great scholar." They would laugh at him and tease him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that this man was not just reading. Tears were coming from his eyes, and he was mispronouncing all the words. So Mahaprabhu went to him and said, "My dear sir, it appears you cannot read, but yet you are reading Bhagavad Gita. Why?" This illiterate Brahman recognized that Mahaprabhu was not trying to tease him or make fun of him. So he decided to reply very sincerely. He said, "My dear sir, I don't know how to read. I'm illiterate." "Then why you are going through the Bhagavad Gita?" Mahaprabhu said. "Oh, my Guru Maharaj ordered me to read 18 chapters a day. So, although I'm illiterate, I have to do it. What can I do?" Mahaprabhu replied, "But you are not just reading. Tears are coming from your eyes, and you are crying. Why?" The Brahman explained, "Although I cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita very well, When I hear these words, I think of a picture of how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is taking the position of his chariot driver, his devotee Arjuna. And when I see how Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala and so dear to his devotees, and he's serving his devotees, when I see that picture before my eyes, my heart melts and tears are coming from my eyes. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately embraced him and said, you really understand Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, Arjuna said to Krishna, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to the attempts of the Pandavas to make peace with Duryodhana, but all these attempts failed one after another. Then Purnachanda Maharaj, he goes a bit deeper into that. By that we can finish this section. It wasn't that Arjuna was afraid, because Prabhupada mentioned that he desired to see all those who joined the army of Duryodhana, and it must have been birds of the same feather like Duryodhana. It was an open secret that Duryodhana wanted to usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas by evil plans in collaboration with his father Dhritarashtra. Therefore, all those who joined the side of Duryodhana must have been birds of the same feather. Arjuna wanted to see them on the battlefield before the fight was begun, just to learn who they were. But he had no intention to propose peace negotiations with them. He wanted to see them to make an estimate of the strength he had to face, although he was quite confident about his victory. In the commentaries of the previous acharyas, you just will see your friends and make friends. Yeah, Purnachanda Maharaj, he mentioned that in his Gita Upanishad, he put lines between the verses, but it's not coming from him, it's the acharyas like Baladev Vidyabhusan are doing that. So you just see your friends and make friends. That like one falls in love with relatives and friends. And Arjuna responds, no, I just came to see and estimate the power of their army and to see who is actually going to assist the evil Duryodhana. Which of the same feather as that evil person. The name Asyuta means infallible. Other than the fact that Krishna does not fall down, it means that he is infallible in his love and affection for his devotees. So this word Asyuta indicates Vatsalya Bhava. Prabhupada writes, he never fails in his affection for his devotees, thus he is addressed herein as infallible. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. This is his most important quality. So Vatsa means chest, Vatsa means also calf. La can be derived from Lati, which indicates rakshati or protection. To it indicates that Krishna embraces to his chest Arjuna in loving embrace of affection and to protect him. So it can mean he who brings his devotees near to him and gives them total protection. Therefore Krishna is called Asyuta. This denotes the Lord's Bhakti Bhakta Vatsala. that is Bhakta Vatsala quality. Prabhupada comments in the last paragraph that as a pure devotee of the Lord, that's the last paragraph 22, as a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna had no desire to fight with his cousins and brothers, but he was forced to come on the battlefield by the obstinacy of Duryodhana, who was never agreeable to any peaceful negotiation. Therefore, he was very anxious to see who the leading person present on the battlefield. Although there was no question of peacemaking endeavor on the battlefield, he wanted to see them again and to see how much they were bent upon demanding an unwanted war. But also he 23, just that's the last of this section. Yotsyamanam avekshaham yaite tra samagata tritarashtra durbudir yude kriya sikirshava. Let me see who have come here to fight, wishing to believe the evil-minded son of Tritarashtra. It was an open secret that Duryodhana wanted to usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas by evil plans in collaboration with his father Tritarashtra. Therefore, all persons who had joined the side of Duryodhana must have been birds of the same feather. Arjuna wanted to see them on the battlefield before the fight was begun, just to learn who they were, but he had no intention of proposing peace negotiations with them. It was also a fact that he wanted to see them to make an estimate of the strength which he had to face, although he was quite confident of victory because Krishna was on his side. That now just see what has happened. The armies are ready, the trumpets and bugle drums have sounded, everyone is completely excited, ready to fight. Arjuna has picked up his bow, it takes 20, he's picking up his bow and he's prepared to shoot his arrows, and suddenly he's saying, let me see, the whole battle is about to begin, and Arjuna armed says, let me see. So here is the first hint that Arjuna had some trouble. Yeah. Because in text 20 he's taking up his bow. At the end of the chapter he puts down his bow. That's interesting. That. So this section shows how Krishna takes care of his devotees, that we have heard the signs of victory and then Krishna's Bhakta Vatsala feature. Now here when Arjuna is ordering Krishna to drive the chariot in the midst of the armies, what is Krishna going to do? You have about it is said there were 504 million kshatriyas, and the front line at Kurukshetra was 40 miles. So, and Krishna puts the chariot between the two armies. Where is he putting the chariot? Just in front of Bhishmadev, Duryodhana, Dronacharya, that why is Krishna doing that? 40 miles, but just in that place he puts his chariot. Why is he doing that? Because Arjuna has attachment to his family and does not want to kill them. So these attachments come out, and then we have all the doubts. That's very interesting. Krishna will also do that with his devotees. We have attachment. And Krishna will show us these attachment. That's how Krishna takes care of his devotees.